Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
If you were watching on Friday, we were live when J.J. Holloman, the news involving him, was announced, covered by the, I guess, the Covington News, newspaper in the state of Georgia that breaks that story, that Holloman's no longer part of the Georgia roster. I had some thoughts on it then. I've got more thoughts to get in through throughout our program today, both in terms of what this means on a personal situation for how we should all react to this involving a guy that Georgia fans have come to love in Holloman. I'll deal with that. I will also deal with the football part of this, because after all, we are a football show. This is, you know, in a roundabout way, still a football story, so we'll do all that coming up. Let me do something else, though, on the more recent news before we get to the Holloman stuff, and I'm going to try to see if I can spin this forward and kind of decide what's going to happen next. I was very surprised, as many of you probably were, kind of, you know, what seemed to me almost kind of out of nowhere, that the four-star offensive lineman Akiola Gunby, one of those really good-looking offensive line prospects Jeff Sintel had written a great profile of a couple times, really, at DogNation.com. Interesting personality, a guy that seemingly loved Georgia, had been really outspoken, pushing guys to Georgia, being a strong recruiter for the Dogs and doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And then suddenly, all out of nowhere, Gunby's flipping. Really, it's hardly even a flip. He doesn't really announce any kind of decommitment from Georgia. He simply says on Twitter, this is yesterday, my recruiting is 100% over. I'll be playing football and attending the Texas A&M University gig'em. And he goes on, and you see the picture there if you're watching on video, of him there in College Station, Texas. He is now part of the Texas A&M program. Now, a little backstory on this. Before many of us were probably paying that much attention to Gunby, it is probably fair to say that he was at one point in time an Aggies commit. So this is, in a lot of ways, almost like a Warren Brinson situation, where Brinson had committed to Georgia, then outside of the Georgia program, and now recommitted. Gunby, I guess, kind of doing the same thing here with Texas A&M, kind of gravitating back to a program that he initially had some interest with. A little extra context on all of this is the fact that Jeff, our buddy Jeff Sintel, had some really good reporting, catching up with Gunby after he made that announcement on social media. And Gunby did give us a little more information as to kind of what's going on here. And I think one of the things that some of the Georgia fans will take from this is, on the basis of the report that you can read for yourself right now at DogNation.com, apparently there are no hard feelings with Gunby towards Georgia at all. This is, for him, apparently a family situation. I think we have something to show here. Yeah, here is what Gunby says to Dog Nation about all this. Just let them know no love was lost for Georgia. I loved it there and loved the staff. I just had to make the best decision for my mom. And the reference to his mom is the fact that she had a stroke, and I guess her recovery from that stroke is not going as well as it maybe Gunby wishes that it was. He doesn't feel comfortable being away from her right now. It seems like, you know, there's never any shortage of these. It seems like we've heard a lot of examples of this lately where, you know, guys have a chance to go play big-time college football, but when they have a family situation, especially something involving health, that ends up being a thing that kind of pulls them back to their home state. In the case of Gunby, that seems to be what's going on here. So, first of all, I appreciate Akiola just being willing to be forthcoming and open about that. He didn't owe us any kind of explanation on that, but he does give one to Dog Nation readers there by saying, yeah, listen, I've got this family situation, here's what's going on, and this is the reason why I now think Texas A&M's the best spot for me. And he was good enough to talk to us there about DogNation.com with that. And I'm going to let those words from Akiola kind of stand on their own. However, it is also fair to say at Georgia, from a football standpoint, that this is kind of a part of a continuing, maybe mystery is the right word to use here, continuing mystery about how Georgia was going to fit all these offensive linemen into what it's trying to do as well. Because, you know, Jeff's been telling us, hey, you know, Georgia may try to take as many as 6 offensive linemen, but can you take that many in a year in which numbers are already limited in some form or fashion? Georgia probably signs less than 25 guys this year. The actual total number may be still somewhat up in the air, but it's likely, you know, less than 25. At least that's the way it's been treated for most of the time kind of leading up to this. Could you fit that many offensive linemen in there? And Georgia seems to be in kind of good shape for a couple guys like Andrew Rame out of Oklahoma and Cedric Von Braun out of Louisiana. Can you add them to what you already have, and can you find a way to balance out your class with that many offensive linemen? Well, in some form or fashion, the Gunby story is kind of a continuation of that question. And so now, with Gunby out of the mix for Georgia, boy, there's a lot more attention that's going to be paid to Cedric Von Prahn, who I just mentioned, Andrew Rame, who I just mentioned, and I guess there's a little bit of news involving both of them. Not unsurprising, at least in the case of Andrew Rame, who was at Georgia last week and had a great time with all of that, really seemed to enjoy himself, but we knew on the heels of that Georgia visit, Rame would also be taking another visit after that, and indeed that did go down. He was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, visiting the Michigan Wolverines this past weekend. We got a picture of that we can show to our video audience. You got the Jordan Brand logo behind. You know, I'll always think this is weird. I know the kids love the Jordan Brand stuff, but, you know, Michael Jordan was not a football player, nor did he go to Michigan. I always think it's weird when they got on the wall back there, like the Jordan Brand thing. It just seems like a kind of a weird thing to really highlight, but obviously I'm 1,000 years old, and that's probably intended for a lot younger eyes than mine, of course. But Andrew Rame was at Michigan. My assumption is that visit probably went well. Those visits all seem to always do, and yet I think for Georgia fans, there is probably still a strong sense that Georgia's sitting pretty good, I'm guessing, for Andrew Rame, even after the Michigan visit, because that's how strongly they felt before that. But with Ogunbi no longer in this class, boy, that really becomes extra important. All of a sudden, closing on a Rame, keeping him from going to an in-state school like Oklahoma or one of the other schools that he's considering, all of a sudden that becomes a lot more important now that Akio Ogunbi has kind of decided that there's a school out there that's better for him, and Georgia's going to focus some of its offensive line recruiting on some of these other guys. Suddenly that becomes more important. And the situation for Cedric Von Prahn becomes even more interesting than that because, let's face it, Von Prahn is from New Orleans. And Georgia fans a year ago got their fill of going into Louisiana and trying to pull a top prospect out of that state that LSU wanted. But John Emery Jr., ultimately, it didn't work out so well. They held that commitment for a while, and then ultimately LSU won that battle. With Von Prahn now out of New Orleans, is that really the kind of place that Georgia can go into and get this highly regarded, top-rated center? Is that really what Georgia's going to be able to do? Well, when it comes to Sam Pittman, most Georgia fans would tell you there's something that he can't do when it comes to all this kind of stuff, even going into Louisiana. And on Von Prahn's case, that may once again prove to be true there as well. But with Ogunbi no longer in the fold, the Von Prahn recruitment, much like the Rame recruitment, becomes all the more important. The extra complication, or maybe the extra layer of intrigue, maybe that's a better way to say this, the extra layer of intrigue when it comes to Von Prahn is, and Jeff Sintel had some good reporting on this at the forum at forum.dognation.com, and a quick aside here, if you're not checking in on this forum, which is a totally free message board, one of the things that Jeff is starting to do, and I've shown you some of this kind of stuff on the air, I think it's a really clever thing. He's taking some of what he calls kind of his hurry-up intel, you know, the Sintel intel, the long pieces that you see at DogNation.com with the recruiting information, a lot more, a lot shorter, a lot more kind of bullet point type stuff. He's putting in the forum, and it's really good recruiting information. It's totally free, so make sure you check that out at the forum at forum.dognation.com. But inside the forum recently, Jeff was able to confirm some news that's been out there that Von Prahn was rumored to be visiting Georgia this past weekend, and now that visit did not go down. Now, what complicates this situation just a bit is the fact that we are now coming up on a recruiting dead period. So this would have been Georgia's last chance to host Von Prahn for a while. The dead period starts today. Yeah, so we're on that dead period right now. So, you know, Georgia had a chance to host him right before that, and now won't get a chance to do that. And no telling how much pull he's going to get from his home state while Georgia is prohibited from making contact with him here. So that's kind of the complication with all of that. Now, this may all work out really well. Ogunbi may find a good home there in College Station, likely will, and Georgia may get these two guys that it's been strongly rumored to be in the mix for as of late, Von Prahn and Andrew Rame. It may all work out, but it's one of those things we're going to have to watch and see. The overall bottom line, though, I think is kind of summed up by Jeff Sintel. With the work that Sam Pittman is doing, with the guys already in the fold, now minus Ogunbi, and the guys that could still be out there like Raymond Von Prahn, this still has a chance to be a historically good offensive line haul for Georgia in its 2020 class. In fact, here is Jeff from not all that long ago giving voice to just that very point.
With Rame and Von Prahn, if those guys do eventually matriculate to the University of Georgia, or either one of the two, you're going to look at what Georgia did in 2017 with Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, and then you've got Natori Johnson and Justin Schaefer. You're going to see the 2018 class, which included Salyer, Mays, Condon, Trey Hill, and Warren Erickson. In 2019, if Georgia finishes out with one or both of those guys, that is Sam Pittman's finest work for the Georgia Bulldogs.
I think the overall point to take away here, even without Akil Ogunbi, that greatness of that offensive line haul, that the quality of that group, I think that point still remains true. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, of course, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, Apple, Google, everything else in between. Coming soon, I'm told, on Spotify. Our buddy Connor Riley's going to help us out with that. We're going to see if we can get that locked down here pretty soon. But also the world-famous DogNation.com, which I know many of you use, listen to our program. We're just glad to have you on Dog Nation Daily. Speaking of DogNation.com, hope you'll go there to find out more information about Dog Nation Days of Summer. Y'all, we had a great time most recently at our last event. Our next event's going to be just as much fun. Thursday, August 1st, we're going to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Now, it's in Towns County, Georgia, North Georgia Mountains. Could not be better. Y'all, we want to get there and you want to get your room booked. We've only got a couple of these VIP situations left. It's going to work very much like the first event did, where we'll have a big event open to the public starting at 6 p.m. A VIP event reception anyway. That night will start around 5. You'll be able to get in, be a part of that. We'll have some giveaways, some sort of special stuff for our VIPs there. So the way to get yours secured is by booking your room. Go to DogNation.com. You can find your link to Dog Nation Days of Summer. Get on in there and do that. My understanding is we're going to do a golf outing again on that Friday. Boy, can't wait for that. My golf game is not very good, but I have a good time doing it, and I'll have a good time doing that with you. Cannot wait for Dog Nation Days of Summer on all of that. DogNation.com for more details. We got Mike Johnson here coming up in a moment. A lot of subjects I want to get into with Mike. One of the things, we'll do a lot of the offensive line recruiting stuff because Mike knows a lot of these offensive line prospects we were just talking. We'll do some of that with him. But I'll also address the big news of the weekend for Georgia, and that's the situation involving J.J. Holloman. Now, many of you by now are aware of this. Covington News broke this story. In that story, it is alleged that Holloman admitted to punching a girl that he was dating last April. This wasn't made aware of to UGA police until just earlier this month, so no reason to think Georgia knew anything about this before the start of this month when the investigation goes down. But once the facts became clear, apparently Kirby Smart has made a bold stroke decision to remove Holloman from the team. In fact, I think we have the quote from Kirby that we can show here. He says, "Jeremiah Holloman is no longer represents the University of Georgia football program. We expect every member of our team to uphold the highest standards and values of the University of Georgia and Georgia football. It's disappointing when this does not happen." That is Georgia coach Kirby Smart. Listen, you know, I have a lot of feelings about this, and almost all of them are complicated. First and foremost, my feelings go out to the young lady involved in this situation because, I mean, there's nothing worse than the feeling of not feeling safe and kind of an intimate relationship, and apparently that's the allegation that goes down here, which is a very sad thing for her. And then when it comes to, you know, Holloman, when these allegations come out against him, you know, obviously the Georgia brand means too much. It's too big. It's too valuable. It's too important to people in the state of Georgia to have it tarnished by a connection to this allegation right now, which allegedly Holloman admitted to, according to what the Covington News reported. So Georgia, Kirby Smart really had no choice here. They had to move swiftly. They had to act boldly, and they did do that. And yet, while I am going to, in the one hand, say Georgia did exactly what it had to do and really had no choice to do otherwise, you know, that doesn't mean that I think that society should toss Holloman aside. That doesn't mean that I think Holloman should have doors closed to him to ever play football again. You know, I think that he can learn from this, and I think that he can grow from this. And, you know, giving my full level of empathy over to the young lady involved in this doesn't mean that I don't have any empathy left over to give to Holloman. And some people say, well, how can you feel bad for him? This was a mistake. This was an action of his own doing. He's the one that put himself in this position. Listen, when it comes to care and concern for people, you know, I'm grateful that doesn't just extend to those who deserve it, because it'd be probably plenty of times in my life when I didn't deserve care and concern from other people. So, you know, I still have a lot of, you know, feelings and affection for Holloman, a guy that I've loved playing football, a guy that I've loved watching play football. I mean, my hope is that he can learn from this situation, maybe get the help that he needs to make better choices in the future. And, you know, college is a time for learning and growth. It's a time for development and finding out who you are as a person. And sometimes that's in the classroom, and sometimes that involves academics. Sometimes it involves things maybe far more important than that. Holloman now is going to go on a pretty significant journey to kind of figure out what went wrong here and how to do better in the future, and I'm still going to be cheering for him as he goes down that path. And unfortunately, that path no longer includes the University of Georgia. Later on, we'll talk more about what this means for the Dogs from a football stance, but did want at least off the top here kind of speak about the, you know, Holloman as a person and what Georgia has lost with him kind of no longer in connection to this. We'll do more on that later on. We'll also kind of get back to the business of some of the recruiting stuff and the offensive line. We'll welcome back an old friend. It's good to have Mike Johnson here on Dog Nation Daily. And you know what? I always love talking to this guy, and it's always a fun time to have him on the program. In a moment, we will get to some happier stuff when it involves the offensive lineman and kind of where Georgia's kind of looking to fill out its 2020 class and what it means now that Akio Ogunbi is not a part of this 2020 class anymore. But, Mike, before we do that, I think I'd be doing a disservice to our audience if I didn't further the conversation we were just having. I'll kind of remind everybody of the details here. J.J. Holloman was Georgia's leading returning receiver, but now he's not going to be on this roster anymore because of a pretty strong allegation of hitting a woman, a girl that Holloman was apparently dating more than a year or so ago. And, you know, Mike, I think you'd agree with me that when it comes to dismissing Holloman from the team, which is what Smart has done, Georgia probably had no choice but to do that. And yet, if you're in that locker room, and you've been in these locker rooms at both the NFL and the major college level, if you're in that locker room, Holloman's loss is going to be felt, not just for what he brings on the field, but for the relationship he had with his players. This is probably a little bit of a confusing time for this Georgia football team, is it not?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, this would be, you know, akin to when I was back in college losing Julio Jones, you know, going into the 2009 season. I mean, that's how big of a player and that's how much I believe J.J. Holloman meant. But I think you hit the nail on the head, B.A., and I think, you know, most of the fans would agree, you know, not only because of what he did, but, you know, the time in which he does it, it says everything. You just cannot go out and have these, you know, kind of violent things going on and expect to stay part of a big football program like Georgia. Kirby Smart had no choice but to do what he had to do to get rid of J.J. Holloman and to make sure his team understood the difference between right and wrong. And I think he made the right decision. It's a tough one, and it is going to be felt throughout the football team, but it was the right decision, and you just have to understand. And, you know, I think I heard a little bit there at the end before I got on the phone with you that, you know, this is a guy that by no means should, you know, doors be closed to him for the rest of his life, but this is going to be a learning moment for him. He's going to have to understand that the things that he did and the actions he took, and accountability is a big part of this, have led to where he's at right now. So definitely a tough loss, and hopefully the kid and everybody involved in the situation can find a way to make peace.
Let me bring this back to the football part of this for a moment, because you mentioned Julio Jones, a guy that came in as a highly regarded freshman when you were already on the Alabama roster. Now, I always think it's really interesting, the school that you play for, Alabama, how similar certain things are to what Georgia's going through right now. And in one instance, that's also true, just given the fact that Georgia is also now presumably going to look to some freshman wide receivers. George Pickens is coming in, a highly regarded five-star. Dominic Blaylock is not a five-star, and yet he certainly played like it to my eyes and to a lot of the people who watched him in his final year there at Walton High School. And I know you saw Dominic up close and personal at one point in time this past season. You know, when you're a player, I'm sure there's probably some thought in your mind of, hey, you know, can this freshman come in and really be good? And obviously in the case of Julio Jones, it turned out that, yeah, he has chance. He was every bit as good as the recruiting rankings would have suggested he was. And now for Georgia, they're hoping the same thing is true for Pickens and the same thing is true for Blaylock. It is true that we do live in an age in which freshman receivers can make the impact that Jones once made and Justin Ross made last year for Clemson, a lot of other examples, that it's never been seemingly easier for freshman receivers to come in and make a big impact. And for Georgia, that's good news because they really need that to happen this year.
Well, absolutely. You have to have the depth, and especially at a position like wide receiver, BA. I know that you'll echo my sentiment on that. When you play wide receiver, that's one of the positions you can easily step in as a freak athlete, and it lays everybody else at ease. You get a number one wide receiver that shows up, then the guy that was number one gets a slot down to number two, then all of a sudden he's seeing less press coverage, then all of a sudden the number two guy gets slotted to maybe an inside receiver spot, and all of a sudden everything starts to open up in that passing attack. It makes things a lot easier on your quarterback and your offensive line, and just talking about Julio and the impact he had on our team at Bama, you know, back 10 years ago, he changed the entire dynamic of the program from a work ethic standpoint to an athleticism standpoint to what he allowed us to do on the perimeter in these one-on-one matchups. Teams could no longer just load the box. I mean, you can make a difference as a true freshman wide receiver in some of the things you do on the field. So, listen, and you mentioned I saw Dominic Blaylock up close and personal. Kid is an absolute game changer at wide receiver, and there's a number of those guys headed into the Georgia program that'll be trying to make those moves. So, a lot of incredible talent. It's just going to have to be who can learn this offense, who can learn the dynamics of the ins and outs of what they're supposed to do, and who can make that impact in the fall.
So, Akiola Gunby is a four-star offensive lineman, was a Georgia commit, has decommitted, chosen to go to Texas A&M instead. He's kind of cited family concerns on this. You know, Mike, you grew up in Pensacola, end up playing your football in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, that's not the longest way away, but you're not, like, right next door to home either. And, you know, if you had had some sort of major family situation going on, which Gunby apparently does, I'm sure that distance would start to feel even longer. You know, a lot of times we forget, I think, you know, what it's like to no longer be in your hometown anymore, away from home for the first time, and have a spotlight on you the way that major college football players do. And for a Gunby, given what he's going through right now, that apparently was going to be a little too much for him at this point in time. I think given the fact that you've been in his footsteps, in his, you know, shoes before, leaving home to go to another state to play football, not the same family situation, but certainly, you know, getting used to living in a new place for the first time, you as much as anybody else can probably understand a little bit about that, right?
Well, and I applaud it, B.A. I mean, the simple fact is that any kind of decommitment will hurt for the Georgia coaching staff and the football team, the fan base, for just a little bit. But in my eyes, and you listen, you've been around recruiting, and people watching the show have been around recruiting, you'd rather see it right now than him to show up on campus maybe as an early enrollee or a guy who gets in the summer and then all of a sudden wants to enter the transfer portal and wants to head back home. You'd rather see it right now. You'd rather see a kid grow up during this recruiting process and not have to grow up in his first year of college and it'd be worse off for everybody. So definitely, you know, hoping the best for him. I understand that, you know, his mom's had some health problems and just wanted to stay closer to home and be a part of, you know, what Texas A&M is doing. And I certainly understand this. Quality football player, I think definitely he's got a little bit of work to do as far as footwork goes. He's a little bit of a grabber up top, but going to be a quality football player wherever he decides to go. And like I said, I have to tip my cap to him that he realized a lot of the things about what was needed in a college decision before making that decision, as opposed to you know, being a guy who signed on the dotted line because it sounded good, and then showing up three states or four states away and saying, man, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah, I will let people know that we're actually going to be doing another one of those series of Real Talks with you on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, where you help us break down some of these offensive linemen. It sounds like a Gunby's a guy you've seen a little bit of, and I am a little curious about this. From a player standpoint, what has gotten away from Georgia here? I know Gunby, even his own words, will say that his own high school career hasn't probably prepared him for everything that's going to be going on at the college level, because, you know, his team doesn't throw the ball very much. It doesn't do a whole lot of pass blocking. But what have you seen from a Gunby, and what is Georgia now not going to be getting now that he's on his way to College Station?
Well, I think he's a quality football player. Like I said, I don't see him as, you know, kind of a day one guy. You know, Georgia's been very lucky recently to see some guys step on the campus and be immediately ready to play. I don't know if I saw that from him. And, you know, I use the term grabber sometimes when you know, you're evaluating some of these high school offensive linemen, because when you have a guy at his size and stature, sometimes it becomes easier to just grab the smaller guy. You know, some of these 200, 180-pound linebackers you might be going up against and use your grit strength that way. But, you know, a lot of times guys that are grabbers in high school, when they show up to college, those become holding calls, and they don't get away with those as much as they used to. And I think, it's like I said, he moves well in space. I think he moves well for his body size, and, you know, he's kind of that prototypical guy. But you're going to have to work on some foot speed. He's a kid that, obviously, watching his tape, he understands angles, he understands, you know, football and the dynamics around a lot of the running plays. But going to have to work on foot speed and foot acceleration so that when he does get his hands on a lot of these guys, he'll see at the next level that he is able to finish them without, you know, kind of getting those holding calls. But a quality player, and, you know, he's going to be a good piece wherever he decides to land.
How about Cedric Von Prahn, who we talked about before you came on the show, big-time center out of New Orleans? Now, I'm going to do this with you two ways. On the one hand, as I said before, you came in on the show today, you know, Georgia fans have had their fill of going to Louisiana and trying to win a recruiting battle for a major recruit. It didn't work out last year for a running back. when it comes to John Emery Jr., and I think that Emery's going to be one of the best players in the LSU roster this season. I think that's a pretty big loss, you know, all things being, you know, considered for Georgia. And now trying to go back into Louisiana again with a big-time offensive lineman. Now, Sam Pittman doesn't lose a lot of these head-to-head battles, but that's going to be a tough recruit. But it sounds like, and I'm sure you're going to echo these sentiments, that Van Pran, the kind of player as a interior offensive lineman, that if you got a chance to win that, no matter how difficult the recruiting battle is, you got to go out in there and do it, because it sounds like this young man brings a lot to the table.
There's no doubt about it. And he plays, B.A., watching his film, with an upper body violence that you don't see much in high school. I mean, he really has an explosive bench press. I have no idea how much he benches, but you can tell he has an explosive upper body. Now, sometimes that does lead to him being more of a waist bender, because he does get away with so much with upper body strength. But for what he's being asked to do in high school and what he'll be asked to do at the next level, there's no question that it translates. I mean, any kind of kid, and honestly, I was kind of shocked to see that he was listed online at 305 pounds. This is a guy, to me, he looks like he plays at about 280 because his arms are so quick. Usually I don't see that with a guy that's over the 300-pound plateau that's 17 years old. But he's a guy who's got a quick, violent upper body. You know, he can shove guys around the run game. He gets great extension when he needs to. And when you have extension and you are a 6'5" body, the leverage that you get is unparalleled. That's why these colleges love these tall offensive linemen. So, you know, he's a guy that I think is going to do great. And, he'll have to work on his hip strength as well and kind of sit back into his legs. But he's going to be a solid piece. And, boy, if George can land him, he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him there in Athens.
Let me do one more player before we let you go. And, of course, for folks who are, curious about more of this, Mike's, as I said, going to be a part of an upcoming series of videos on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, breaking down more of these offensive line names. It's Andrew Rehm. He's out of Oklahoma. The Sooners, the reigning Joe Moore Award winner for the top offensive line a year ago. This is another state. It's tough to go into and pull out a big-time offensive lineman. Rehm took his official visit to Georgia 2 weekends ago, seemed to really love it. Georgia fans, even after Rehm visited Michigan this past weekend, think they could be sitting in okay position for Rehm. It sounds like this is also an offensive lineman that Georgia would really like to get. Is that fair?
It's definitely fair. And I honestly think that he's the best of the three guys we've talked about so far. Yeah, he's got the combination of being a little bit of a gripper up top, like I said, but he has the foot acceleration to go along with it. And I think that's very, very exciting when you look at Georgia in the run game and how much they love to run the football. This is not Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma's going to air things out a lot. You know, they do a lot of running blocking as well. But Georgia, the way they like to ground and pound, I think Rehm fits their, fits what they want to do and what Sam Pittman wants very, very well. Now, I think he has a lot of work to do as far as pass sets go. I think he's a guy that's going to have to learn to not play on his toes in the pass game. He's a guy that's going to show up, and he's going to start to understand that my calf muscles aren't as strong as my quads and my hips and all the other stuff. Don't play on your toes in pass protection. But as far as physical skill set, I think he's the best of the three. And like you said, you're able to go into Oklahoma and get that guy over to Georgia and Athens. That not only makes your program look great, that also may start to chip away at some of the other programs around. And he's going to be a quality player as well.
Boy, Mike, it's incredible to have that kind of evaluation of these offensive linemen. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing that with us here on Dog Nation Daily. I'm going to look forward to seeing a bunch more from you on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger here coming up, when you kind of get into a little bit more detail on these guys. It's just fun talking football with you again, and we'll look forward to getting a chance to do that again very soon.
Can't wait to do it, B.A. See you soon, buddy.
Good stuff there from Mike Johnson, the great SEC analyst and a good friend of us here on Dog Nation Daily. I want to go back to something he was saying about Julio Jones before, because this is one thing we did not get into in this particular discussion, but it is important to add here. You know, Mike, if you talk to him now, I mean, he just rattled off a whole bunch of details about Cedric Von Prahn and Andrew Rehm and, all these guys. You know, Mike follows recruiting pretty closely now because he's grown to appreciate the value that it has in determining who's going to be successful in college football, and not just for, a program like here on Dog Nation Daily where we cover George, but his own alma mater in Alabama and everything else. Mike's grown to appreciate the value of recruiting. But he'll be the first to tell you that is not always the way that he was. And in his own football career, that was especially true. I mean, he's told stories in the past of being a veteran guy, at Alabama going into what would have been, the 2008 signing class, I think, for a Julio. And, Mike didn't know who any of these guys were. If you're a player, all you worry about is your own performance, your own career. And all of a sudden you hear about these guys getting all this attention, Julio Jones especially, as a receiver. And, when you're the one that's been working and grinding and fighting on a college practice field for all these years, there's a little something a little distasteful or a little, you know, kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth when somebody else is the one that's getting all the attention, these new guys coming in. But he's told you, and I'm not telling you anything that he hasn't said publicly on some of the shows that we've done together before. When he saw Julio with his own eyes, he understood what the big deal was about, that, oh, this was more than just a typical college freshman. This was the kind of guy that had a chance to be special, and for Alabama, to its credit, Julio Jones turned out to be exactly that. Now Georgia finds itself in the same position. I would never begin to tell you that George Pickens is the next Julio Jones, because none of us know. I'll never pretend to tell you that Dominic Blaylock is the next Julio Jones, because none of us know. But what we all kind of assume now is, with Georgia subtracting another experienced receiver off of its roster, it's a little more pressure on Blaylock and Pickens now. Certainly there's a lot more expectations on them. They go from being a luxury of, hey, it'd be nice if they played well, to, boy, it's a real problem for Georgia if they don't play well. That's a different kind of situation for Georgia to find itself in when it comes to those two guys this year.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really good stuff as always when it comes to our buddy Mike Johnson. Really appreciate him sharing his thoughts on the offensive line recruits that Georgia's chasing down, on kind of, you know, where Georgia goes when it comes to that wide receiver situation. That's not a fun conversation to be able to have, but it's good to be able to have Mike's expertise on it. So really glad about that. Before we do our SEC Through, let me also tell you about something interesting from Kroger. You know, one of the things that Kroger likes to do is be creative in coming up with all ways to save you money. That's both in the store when you're buying the things your family needs, the groceries and whatnot, but it's also when it comes to filling up gas in your tank and everything else. So how about this? How about a Kroger Fuel VIP program? This has just started, and it's a chance for customers to earn 2 fuel points on purchase instead of just one. So you're essentially doubling your fuel point opportunities. Enrollment's super easy. You can scan the barcode at checkout, or you can enroll online with this website, Kroger.com/FuelVIP. Kroger.com/FuelVIP. Now, the annual enrollment's just $40, and it's well worth it because you get 2 fuel points for every dollar spent. Check that out at your local Kroger. All right, let us talk about some SEC stuff here just for a moment. And let me start with another recruit apparently connected to Texas A&M. Now, I said this on, was it Dog Nation Daily on Friday? I said this to Jeff on one of our shows this past week. I am wrong about plenty. You can go through the list and find a ton of stuff I've been wrong about. I've never been, though, less happy to be right about something. And that's the situation involving 5-star running back Zach Evans. When Evans initially announced his top 5 finalists, and it didn't include Texas or Texas A&M, something about that just seemed a little fishy to me. And I think at the time we all said, ooh, I'm not quite so sure I'm going to count out the Longhorns and the Aggies in this recruitment. And frankly, I've even gone so far as to say their exclusion from Evans' top 5 just leads me to believe how strongly he feels about them, because, to be super philosophical for a moment, you know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is kind of indifference, and I think it's pretty clear that Evans wasn't indifferent to Texas or Texas A&M. Maybe he just didn't really feel like they were showing him the degree of love that he wanted to be shown. Well, maybe that's starting to change. As we mentioned on Friday at Dog Nation Daily, Austin American Statesman and other media outlets reporting that Evans was set to take an unofficial visit to Austin, and apparently he's also taken another visit to Texas A&M there as well. We know that because Evans put this up there on his Twitter feed. In fact, if you're watching on video, I'll show you the pic of Evans in College Station. He says, Houston to a College Station, question mark, and there's a photo with him and some other folks wearing that unmistakable Aggie maroon there. So he was in Texas A&M this past weekend. This is going to be, I guess, one of those situations where, as we've said before, if you were to compare Georgia to the other stated finalists for Evans, I don't think there's any reason why Georgia shouldn't be able to win that battle over Alabama, even though Alabama gave the commitment to Damian Pierce. I'd still feel, Damian George. I always say Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce is a Florida running back from Kirby Smart's hometown of Bainbridge. Damian George is the offensive lineman that Alabama gave the scholarship offer to. Head-to-head versus Alabama, I think Georgia can easily win that. Head-to-head versus LSU, given LSU signed so many running backs a year ago, I think Georgia can win that. Ohio State, we've been led to believe the relationship between Evans and the Buckeyes not that great. Georgia could win that. Oklahoma's got a couple running back commits already. Georgia's got a better history of using running backs as it is. So against all the finalists, I think you can come up with a pretty good reason why Georgia could go head-to-head there. But against the in-state situation, given the fact that Evans is from Houston, that was always going to be the toughest recruiting battle. And by the way, I say all these things about Evans independent of Kendall Milton. As you all know, I have been of the belief that it would be possible for Georgia to sign both of these guys. Ultimately, I think, though, the in-state pull for Evans is apparently still pretty strong here, and Texas nor Texas A&M is going to give up on this without any kind of significant fight. So there is where things stand with Evans, apparently in College Station and reported to have been in Austin, so we will see where this goes next. A couple other quick stories here. I saw where Steve Spurrier is apparently opening a restaurant, and I guess he's going to have a press conference today at noon, I believe, basically seeking an investor to come along with him on this. Let me tell you this right now. I wouldn't get in business with Steve Spurrier if you gave me 100% stake in the entire company. Given the way that he turned tail and quit on South Carolina when things were not going well, you think he would do anything any different when it comes to this restaurant whatsoever? There's not a chance in the world that Steve Spurrier wants to work hard enough to run a restaurant. Oh, we have a lot of friends that watch and listen to the show every day who are kind of in that business. They'll be the first to tell you that is no easy thing to do if you're not 100% focused and dedicated. And listen, even when Steve Spurrier was in his prime, I don't think that, you know, being a hard worker was necessarily his calling card. So there is that. And by the way, SEC will be represented by Vanderbilt in the College World Series final. I will tell you, after Georgia lost, I didn't watch a single pitch of anything, not Super Regional, not World Series, or anything else. But it seems like it's probably been a pretty good tournament there in Omaha thus far. And against Michigan, you don't see a lot of Big Ten representation sometimes in the College World Series, but Vanderbilt versus Michigan, no word if Jim Abbott and Barry Larkin will be available to the Wolverines in that game, but nonetheless, that will be your College World Series final, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily for just a couple minutes, I want to do, and we'll do a lot more on this in the days ahead because this is a pretty big subject to deal with. I want to do a little more on the situation involving Georgia receiver now that J.J. Holloman's not in the mix. One of the things I talked about on Friday when we did our Facebook Live broadcast reacting to this in the moment is that when it comes to the offensive skill positions, experience at wide receiver seems to matter more than the other positions do. As Bill Conley from Football Study Hall has reported, there's a stronger correlation to that position returning experience and winning than running back, than quarterback, even offensive line, according to Conley, and that's probably a little bit surprising for some people. However, Connor Riley wrote something interesting at DogNation.com today that I thought was worth maybe kicking around and pondering just for a moment. His overall takeaway is you know, how Georgia's leading receiver needs to perform this year in comparison to what previous leading receivers have done in the college football playoff era, and we've certainly talked plenty about that here on our show. But he also addressed the fact that, you know, two of Georgia's receivers have experience, just not at Georgia. Demetrius Robertson had a pretty big year for Cal, but he did that in a Bears uniform. Lawrence Cager caught 6 touchdowns for Miami last year, but that was not in a Georgia uniform. So I think it leads me to ask a question of how much does experience matter and count if the experience came in somebody else's uniform? Because historically, teams have needed experience at wide receiver in order to have a big success, and for right now, Georgia's got less of that than other programs do. I think the ultimate answer to this question is how much Georgia benefits from the experience gained by two of its players on another roster and how quickly it can acclimate guys who have no experience at all, like Pickens and Blaylock, who we've talked plenty about on today's show. I think it kind of depends on what happens this summer because, as Jake Fromm explained during the spring, anytime you're trying to break in a new crop of wide receivers, it's really more about the chemistry that gets developed between that receiver and the quarterback, maybe as much as it is about knowing the playbook or knowing the opposing defense, but the relationship the signal caller has with the guy that he's tossing the ball to. In fact, here's what Fromm said about that then.
Yeah, reps, talking to them, getting a feel, seeing a lot of different looks from the defense. It really helps when the defense gives us their best look. And I think it really just comes down to a lot of reps, you know, a lot of extra time watching film with those guys, seeing what they're seeing. Hey, this is what I'm seeing. It's just an ongoing back and forth. It's kind of like a conversation. And you just kind of start it that way and keep building it and keep throwing the ball.
I think it's really funny that Fromm used the word reps there, to my count, like 3 times. And right now this summer, away from coaches and away from the media, I think Fromm's trying to get these reps with these guys. He was doing it before Holloman's dismissal, and will probably be doing it even more now, getting those guys on the same page. And I love his analogy that it's like a conversation. Listen to me talk to Mike Johnson on this show, someone I've talked to thousands of times. Listen to how free and easy and comfortable that conversation is, because we know each other really well. Compare that, though, to when I have an interview with somebody who's not on the show a whole lot. Listen to how different that conversation might sound. Not quite as comfortable, not quite as smooth. The quarterbacks throwing to wide receivers, it may be somewhat the same way. Fromm's going to have to develop that comfort pretty quickly now, because Georgia finds itself in kind of a unique situation. Now, here's what I'm a believer on when it comes to Georgia at the receiver position this fall. It is not in a scenario too dire to overcome it. Georgia can still be okay at wide receiver. And yet, it is important to note just how challenging it's going to be. This is not as simple as some fans have claimed of, oh, it's just next man up. You just push the next guy in there and Georgia's going to be fine. You know, stats matter. History matters. Precedent matters. And there's not a ton of precedent for no experience at receiver and success in an upcoming season. However, Georgia is not going to get a lot of sympathy from its rivals, just given how talented this overall crop of receivers would appear to be. So keep that in mind. By the way, 968 days. That's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.